You're listening to The Point. Traditional Irish music has a large and loyal following, both here and abroad. Anya Minogue is an acclaimed Irish harpist and singer whose music explores and reflects the richness of Irish history, mythology, and poetry. She joins us on the phone from her home in Boston. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
Your relationship with music began in childhood. Music was very much a part of your family, and you played a number of different instruments as a child, but you settled on the harp. Tell us when and how your relationship with the harp came to be.
Well, I think I was a pretty imaginative child, and there's something about the harp. As soon as people start listening to us, they stop listening to you, and it has a sort of transportive quality, and I think that's what attracted me to it, and I think that's why people tend to like it, and it ties into the mythology. There's all these wonderful stories attached to the harp, and I think that's why my imagination and I landed on that particular instrument.
And you're performing a summer solstice celebration at Pilgrim's Landing in Chatham on June 22nd. So what's the significance of the summer solstice in Irish culture and music?
Well, the old Irish Wheel of the Year really follows the agricultural cycle, and it really is very attuned to nature. For example, Halloween is New Year's Eve on the old Celtic calendar. So even though the solstices and equinoxes aren't quite as important as, say, Halloween and May Day, which are what we call the major fire festivals, we still really celebrate the solstices and equinoxes and, of course, the winter solstice. I do a lot of shows at that time of year. And the summer solstice, which is something we sort of naturally, inherently seem to want to go outdoors and celebrate. And the Irish have always been attuned to this. Yeats, for example, was very influenced by fairy lore and folklore and very much was attuned to nature. And it's very much reflected in all of his writings, if you take a close look. And of course, the bard himself, Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream, were all very attuned to those type of writings, I think, at this time of year.
Yeah. So let's hear a piece. This is called King of the Fairies. Is sort of a mesmerizing, kind of fantastical quality to this music.
Well, of course, at the power times of year, the Celtic people believed that the veil between the worlds at these solstices and equinox, that the veil was very thin and that you could break through, especially in such liminal places as the seaside and such beautiful places as Cape Cod. And they really had a very deep belief in the other world and the land beneath the waves and the land of fae and what have you. And so they believed music, of course, was the primary conduit. And the harp always features very heavily in these wonderful stories of fairy and what have you. And they really believed in the power of music, of the transportive power of music, that it could take you elsewhere. And, of course, it's deeply symbolic, and it's all very related to our own subconscious and anyway, I should stop there.
I'll say, well, you know, fairies were very much part of your childhood, and that there's hardly a town in Ireland without a fairy fort, well, or other magical place. And it's funny because we think of fairies as just for children, but there are meanings that you gain from these otherworldly creatures as well.
That's very true. And, you know, as I've gotten older, there was a wonderful woman at Harvard at the Celtic Studies program, Barbara Hillers, who really opened my world to the symbolic nature and sort of archetypal meaning of what these fairy stories meant. And, of course, people like Joseph Campbell have opened the whole world up, you know, in the power of myth to what they meant. And in Ireland, I just sort of took it for granted. I played in fairy forts and castles growing up. And before people had psychology, we often used these stories as a way to help our minds sort of rest easy with some of the difficulties of life.
All right, we're going to listen to another clip. This one is titled The Mermaid, but before we hear it, tell us the story of the mermaid.
Certainly, it's a beautiful story, and mermaids were as real to mariners in the, you know, many hundreds of years ago. And people of the sea, they were very, very superstitious. And they basically, the basic story is a woman falls in love with a man, and she comes on land and lives as his wife with him. And invariably, she finds her skin and is always at odds between the love of her children and the fact that she has returned to the sea. And her children are on the seashore calling for her, but she's basically in the sea. And it speaks to these great complexities of life that we often have to deal with that aren't simply answered. And I always say any woman who's ever had to go back to work and be for children at home understands the story of the mermaid, or that there, it often comes in the form of a sulky story as well.
The harp is an ancient instrument, and early Irish harpists believed that certain melodies could induce powerful states of sleep. Although they're sometimes called lullabies, they're relaxing and peaceful for everyone. So talk a little about the tradition of lullabies in Irish music.
Yes, these are called sunthri, and the ancient harpers were trained to basically induce forms of sleep. You can call it the placebo effect, whereas now we might take a tablet or a pill to get us to sleep. People truly believed if they listened to certain types of music, which were very much written with the intent of putting you to sleep, that if they listened to this music, they would go to sleep. And I can attest to having played some of this type of music, which is called sunthri, that it really does put you under. And I have some engineers who will attest to this fact, who are not happy with me, having had to mix some of these pieces. And there's two other, just to let you know, there's two other categories that the harpers had to become very proficient in, and those are the Gulltree and the Gantry. And the Gulltree is or the Ganters, you had to induce people to laughter. And we've heard a lot of that kind of Irish music. And the other type is the Galtry, which is you had to get people to cry to get their emotions out. So we had to cover the whole spectrum.
So when you're choosing music, we mentioned you're drawing from Irish history, mythology, and poetry. I'm guessing that's your inspiration, but you know, how do you know? I mean, there's so much you can choose from. How do you zero in on that?
Well, up to now, when I've been making albums, I usually go with the thematic concept because that sort of keeps me in a square, because otherwise there's just too much going on. I wouldn't be able to sort of square it in. And to be honest with you, I've always used music to answer the riddles in my own life, whatever I'm sort of struggling with. I sort of gather the music because for me, everything, every riddle I've ever had, it's all been in the songs. Everything is all there. It's all been answered somehow.
It's amazing how music just goes right to our emotions. It can make us cry, make us laugh, make us, I mean, anything.
It's all there as far as I'm concerned. And it's like, come all ye fair and tender maidens and a warning take from me. And let me tell you, over time, that song has taken on so many meanings. But, it's all in the songs.
Anya Minogue will be performing a Summer Solstice performance June 22nd at Pilgrim's Landing in Chatham. Anya, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ricky. My pleasure.
And we're going to go out with one of your lullabies. This one is titled Close Your Eyes, Love. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening. Thank you.